time to do this because of the time of year it is. And it's going to be talking about busyness, not being a busybody, but being busy. And we need to talk about people being busybodies, but today it's going to be talking about how busy we get. And I think most of us would say they would agree that it's a busy time of year. And with that, let's go over some announcements. Remember, things are going on this week here at the church. Number one, this afternoon, we're going to be having our first combined play practice, choir practice, all those things. We're scheduled to start at 4:15, so we're asking everybody to be here at 4 o'clock so they can warm up and get microphones on and do all those different things. So I know the children's choir and adult choir both asked that they be here by 4, so that way they can get a warm-up so we can start at 4:15. So please make sure you take notice of that and be here if you're a part of it. And then don't forget that on Friday night, same thing. It's Friday night, 6:30 usually, right, Brother Jim? But we like to get started at 6:30, so if you can be here a couple minutes early for that to get warmed up and get your microphones on. And then Saturday night, 6 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., there's a lot of postcards that are missing because people passed them out. That's great. There's still a lot more to give. So this week is probably the most important and best week of doing it. If you pass them out already, go back and do that, remind them, invite them once again, things like that. So looking forward to a great time, praying that somebody gets saved or multiple people get saved. Looking forward to a great Christmas program. Tonight, after the evening service, we will be having a business meeting. It is just going to be to vote on our budget that we presented 2 weeks ago, and there's only been one change in it. I don't think it'll take long. If you have questions about that, you can ask tonight, or you can see me after church, or you could see the deacons anytime before that, or like I said, you can ask any question you want in front of everybody also concerning the budget. Then following that, we're going to have a Christmas celebration or Christmas party for the children's choir, you know, those that have worked hard in the Christmas program, and we're going to do that till 8:30. So parents, it's anybody who's singing in the Christmas program, if they go out there and have a good time back in the back, and come pick them up at 8:30, please. And then also other things going on, December 24th, Christmas Eve service. January 2nd, we're having our New Year celebration service in the afternoon, and we have a meal right after the morning service. So there's a sign-up sheet out there. We've been doing a chili cook-off for the last few years, and most people enjoy that. And so there is a sign-up sheet if you like to make chili or if you like to make soup. And that's going to be the main things that day. We'll probably put some hot dogs out there also, because sometimes kids don't like chili or soup, and sometimes adults don't like chili or soup. I remember growing up, I wasn't a big fan of either one, but now I love them both. So if you're going to write down the soup, let us know what type of soup it is you're making. So I don't care, we have the exact same soup for everybody, but at least that way other people can know so they might consider making something different. That's a lot of fun that day, and looking forward to that New Year celebration service. Going to have a bunch of favorites, special music, a little bit of games, and two speakers speaking shorter messages. And then following that New Year celebration service, there'll be a time of games and activity in the back for anybody that's still awake enough to do that. So, okay, I think that's it for at least announcements. At least it's enough for right now. So the idea of this morning's lesson is syncing your itineraries. Once again, they're still doing on like a travel type thing, but it boils down to being busy. And like I said, Christmas time, and actually even it was in my preaching schedule and didn't know, but tonight we're talking about couples and their relationship, but we're going to look at an overall view tonight about something similar, about no room for Jesus in the inn. And lots of times people don't have room for Jesus at Christmas time. And we're going to look at that from a different perspective and a different angle, but both lessons are going to kind of go together. And this is not just for couples. This is of any type of relationship, but it's mainly emphasis there for those that are married. So sometimes people miss the point, the whole point of Christmas, and they miss the point of what's going on in their marriage, too. God didn't save us and then bring us together to pass each other every once in a while in the house and say hello to each other and stay busy doing all those things. He specifically says to leave and to cleave, which means to adhere to have a close relationship. It means spending time with one another. There's an old story from a century ago about two steamboats. They left Memphis about the same time. They were traveling down the Mississippi River, and as they were traveling side by side, the sailors began making remarks about each other going so slow. Well, they decided to have a race. And these boats were going at it, and they were throwing their coal in, and they realized one of the boats started losing because they didn't have enough coal. And the other, they didn't want to lose, so they started taking the cargo. And they started burning the cargo. And they start, and you know what? They won. But at the end, they hardly had any cargo left. You can win at something, but it doesn't always mean it's actually going to accomplish what God wants or what the intended purpose was before. I think sometimes that happens in our relationships, especially our closest relationships. We become like cargo. Be able to fix everything else and make everybody else happy and to make everybody else look like, hey, I'm polished and I'm perfect. We're willing to push other people aside. We're willing to devalue those in order to keep up with more demanding aspects of our lives that do not mean as much. And our busy culture today actually wars against relational connections. With so many demands on our time, our energy, and our schedule, it's a challenge to give relationships a priority they deserve. And nowhere is this more true than a relationship about a husband and wife. And I want to challenge you this morning. God wants us to be leaving one relationship of our husband and wife and cleaving together. So it's important to spend time. When you're dating, it doesn't seem like that's hard to do. When you're dating, you're not only are you doing your best to find ways and times to talk. Me and my wife, when we were dating, the most part, we were about an hour and a half apart, and we would call as much as we could. When we would figure out times to travel out an hour and a half to go see them on our day off and then travel back an hour and a half, that didn't seem like it was a big deal now. Nowadays, it seems like it's a challenge for me to make that trip for an hour and a half when I'm at my parents' or my in-laws' house to go back and forth. I don't know if it's because I'm old or because when I was dating my wife, there was a desire to want to spend as much time as I could with her. And sometimes that changes. Sometimes it comes to the point that we start having children and we start having other responsibilities, urgent matters come upon us, and busyness takes over. And we do not take the time to just share one another's companies. One day, you realize not only have you lost all the points of connection, you realize that you don't even really particularly enjoy your husband or wife. And that's when many times you start looking to somebody else. Because there is that you're going to want to have that connection with someone. So be careful of an emotional drift, is when you emotionally drift from one another. You know, when you were dating, you hated being apart. You look forward to that next time you're going to see them. You anticipated that. You even arranged things so you could even see them more often. Nowadays, we see our spouse so often, we no longer emotionally attach with them. Instead, we just kind of pass by them in the night, and we just think, oh, that's my wife. I love her. That's my husband. I love her. But it's not the way that God really intends it for it to be. Not only that, when you don't spend time with your wife, when stress builds up, it comes out that you take it out on that other person because they're there. And the reality is the responsibilities of life bring stress. When you live with drifting priorities, stress is going to become bigger and bigger. And if you stop caring emotionally about your spouse, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start blaming things on them. When you stop thinking about them and caring about their concerns, you're only going to see things from your own way and your own perspective. And when that happens, stress becomes built, and then you begin to neglect and resent one another. And you say, what do you mean by neglect? Well, you think about a husband who maybe works long and hard. The wife might feel like she's neglected. And if the wife feels like she's neglected, sometimes she'll put her energy and her hours somewhere else. It could be volunteering. It could be ministering. It could be the kids. It could be friends. It could be shopping. It could be all those other things. And then what happens then? The husband feels neglected. And then they begin to resent all those different things that the wife is doing. And the issue is it began with not giving a proper time relationship understanding one another. The cycle of neglect and resentment can start with anyone, any person, but it's important to try to look at these things. So that's a good lesson. I'm thankful for it, and I think it's going to be a help to us today. The first blank is clarifying your priorities, clarifying your priorities. Look here in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5, we're even going to come back here tonight maybe a little bit. It says, see then, verse number 15, Ephesians 5, 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to help us today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for all the wonderful things you do for us. Lord, you've been so good to us. And sometimes we miss that. Sometimes we take it for granted. And Lord, when it comes to our spouses, it seems like we miss what your will is. Lord, help us to know what you want for us in our relationships, and help us to understand it, and help us to do it. And God, I pray that in this lesson that we would walk away saying, am I giving my spouse the priority, the biblical priority in my life? And Lord, help us to do whatever it is that we need to get things right. And Lord, not only enjoy each other's company, and yes, Lord, we're going to be busy in this world, but help us to take time and establish our relationship that you've given us as one of our main priorities. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so clarifying your priorities, what does that mean? It means making sure you know what the priorities are. If you look at it in verse number 15, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly or circumspect comes from the idea of circumference. And it has the idea of looking at the bigger picture. I know tonight we're going to mention a little bit. It's amazing how sometimes people forget the bigger picture. When you think about Christmas, sometimes people will spend so much time putting up Christmas lights, but they'll never let their light shine. You think about it. I'm going to spend hours upon hours making a house. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But if we truly go back to the reason for Christmas and the meaning of Christmas and for celebrating Christ's birth and that God lives in us and we should shine just as bright as any light, if not more, and we will spend so much time making the outside of our house look nice, but not even give any consideration to making ourselves bright. And I'm not talking about wearing something bright. I'm talking about letting the love of Christ reflect in us. So we need to look at this as the big picture. Why did God bring someone in your life? Why are you married? Why do you have these relationships? Is it so that way you can have children? So that way you can make each other miserable? So that way you can combine together some finances and just be a good person in the world and a good person in society? Consider what the Bible says. And that's what he's saying. He says here that I want you to walk circumspectly. It means don't have tunnel vision. Don't get so caught up and so focused in one direction that you lose the bigger picture of what God's calling for what he's placed on your life. And I get it. Sometimes we're busy and sometimes there is something and we got to focus in. We got to get that done. Understand that. But don't sacrifice your husband and wife to do that. And I sometimes people think, well, you know what? When the kids get out of the house, we're going to spend all this time together. But after that happens, and you don't emotionally connect with your husband or wife for such a long time, by the kids come out of the house, you're trying to get to know a stranger. And you've already set in your routines and set in the things that you do to the point that you're missing what he's trying to do. The Bible says in Genesis 2, 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall, what? Right. Doesn't mean you should just see your husband or wife every once in a while, a few minutes a day. It means that you should cleave. Cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One flesh. That idea of cleave means to adhere, to abide, fast, to follow, close, overtake, to pursue hard, to stick. This takes intention. If you want a relationship, be relationally and emotionally connected in this busy world, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to carve out time on purpose. Usually, what we want when it comes to a schedule and making our schedules all work, we just want something easy. We want something that's a quick fix, and there really is no quick fix. It is actually determining to follow what God wants for us and then going. You think about when you travel by yourself, you can pretty much do what you want. You can make your own itinerary. You can figure things out. I'm going to the airport. I'm going to stay at this place. I'm going to do these activities. But when you're traveling with someone else, what do you have to do? You have to synchronize. You have to work together. You're not going to go and tell the person, hey, look, we're going over here to California, and not tell them when their flight is. That would be stupid. Not tell them when we're leaving. Not tell them how we're getting there, the things that are planned. You sync things together. And so many times in a couple's life, they feel like, here's my responsibilities, here's the things I'm interested in, here's the things I want to do. And they begin making their own plans, and they don't take time to sync and listen to one another and say, this is important. This is important to me. Can we work together and come up with a schedule? So what are the biblical priorities when you are married? I think the first answer is as important as first relationship is with the Lord. But the second relationship should be with your husband and wife. So your first relationship to consider is the relationship with the Lord. And it's amazing. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. This should be our goal. This should be what we're working towards. You say, what does that have to do with marriage? It has everything to do with marriage. Because as you love the Lord the way you should, you know what's going to happen? You're going to love your wife the way you should. As you love the Lord the way you should, you're going to love your husband the way they should. You're going to love your kids the way you should. You're going to love your church the way they should. It's not an issue of a problem with them. It's whether or not we let God's love shine through us. And the truth is, I don't understand God's love when I'm not willing to let God's love be perfected in me while he dwells in me. The love of God can come out. And we're going to talk about in Sunday morning a little bit about the love of God, and the real motivation behind Christmas is that God loved the world because the world had a need. And that love can come through us also. And in our lives, if we love God properly. Now, you think about it. If you go back to the beginning, you got it in your notes, Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. God had established a relationship with Adam before ever bringing Eve into the equation. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden that thou mayest eat freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. So before Eve was ever entered into the equation, we need to remember that God and Adam had a relationship. And we need to, even before we bring into our equation our mates, God's got to come first. And sometimes in our discussions, we got to look at our mate and say, hey, do you want me to do what God wants me to do, or do you want me to do what you want me to do? Because sometimes there's disagreements, and sometimes there's hardships, and sometimes emotions get involved, and we think somebody's making the wrong decision, especially as a husband in the head. Sometimes when you feel like God's leading you, and your wife is sitting there, and she's trying to get you to go a certain way or do a certain thing, and you're praying about it, and you're like, well, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to do what I think God wants me to do, or do you want me to do what you want me to do? And a godly wife would be, okay, if you feel like the Lord wants you to do this, I'm going to pray that the Lord either changes my heart about it or changes your mind about it in a nice way and follow that leadership. When our vertical relationship with God is not strong, our horizontal relationship with others will deteriorate. The love of God that's in us will not be able to perfect itself or mature itself, will not be able to demonstrate itself to others unless it's strong with our relationship first between him and him, between us and him. Then we'll be able to have the relationships we're supposed to. Through the ups and downs of every realm of our life, we must keep that personal walk with God. A Christian couple may have the privilege of encouraging each other, one another, in their walk with God and their growth with God. And you see in the story in Luke, and I know this is a famous story, it's talking about Mary and Martha. It says in Luke chapter 10, 41 and 42, says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Most of us remember the story when Martha was there, and she was working so hard, doing all these wonderful things, and she saw Mary over there, and she was unhappy. Can you imagine how upset she must have been to be able to ask Jesus, hey, Jesus, can you tell her to do something? I mean, to get to that spot, to go out in front of everybody and say, hey, can you get my sister to help me? And then she was reminded of something. I'm not the one that's right. And I think about that. One thing is needful. And we consider that one thing is needful. And that's, there's a lot of things that are needful, but there's one that has such a high priority. And that high priority is that relationship with God. That's got to be above everything else. It's got to be above your husband, your wife. It's got to be above your children. It's got to be above your job. It's got to be above your hobbies, your things that you love, your sports, your the ways, that, even your ministry. Sometimes people get ministry-minded, and they're like, well, this is it. This is what I'm living for. No, we're living for him. And as we live for him, he lets everything else fall in place. So one thing that was needful, there are many things that are important, but there is one thing that is needful, and that's your relationship with God, is knowing him. Even in Ephesians chapter 5, in the same chapter, if you look at verse number 1, it says, be followers of God as dear children. Before he begins to talk, and this is the great marriage chapter, and there are so many great things in verses 21 all the way down to verse number 29, so many great things. Where it says, look, follow after God. As you follow after God, people are going to be able to follow after you. George Mueller was a guy that was known for being very busy. It says he read the Bible over 100 times in his lifetime. It says that he wrote over 30,000 letters per year for 40 years. And it makes it sound like it was handwritten letters. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? He had 9 assistants working with him in a dozen different languages. He pastored a church over 1,200. He had the oversight of 5 large orphanages. He had a huge publishing house. He printed and distributed millions of books, tracts, and Bibles. It sounds like he's a busy guy. But he said, I would never think of going to my work without first having a good season of time with God and my Bible. He says, I'm not going to do it. That's got to be more important than anything else. And I know what our smaller ministry here, all the different things that weigh and all the different pressures and all the things that happen here, I can imagine doing what this guy did. And he says, look, not even going to give it consideration. I'm not going to do any of those things until I spend time with God and in my Bible. Keeping this relationship strong is needful even to our marriage. The next thing is your relationship with the Lord, but it's your relationship with your spouse. And I know some people would have a different opinion about what should be next, but according to what the scriptures say, I believe that your next priority is your relationship with your spouse. I think it becomes before your children. I think it becomes before your job. I think it even becomes before your ministry. Although most people might acknowledge that on paper, many couples struggle with this idea. Having a priority on my spouse and with my spouse. We look at them, they're grown up, they can take care of themselves. Why in the world do they need to be a priority in my life? That's what the scriptures are saying. If you go down to Ephesians 5, look what it says in verse number 31. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One flesh, meaning that it's something that they operate together as one. Many couples struggle with this idea. Remember, God's placed the priority on there that there should be one flesh. You only have so much time and energy in this life. And even something that is a responsibility in your life is going to have to do without some of your energy and time so that way you can have time for your spouse. Just because there's an opportunity does not always mean you have to say yes. Just because there's an opportunity does not always mean that you have to say yes. What do you mean? Well, there are certain things in life that you have a priority, your relationship with God. So like George Mueller says, I'm not giving up my Bible time. I'm not giving up the time I meet with God. And then there's other responsibilities for your family and for your wife specifically. It's organizing and having a better idea of what's important. I get lots of chances to do things. I have lots of people off me, lots of different things to do. But there's priorities you got to make in your life. And it's important to have that wife and husband as one of those things. But sometimes we seem like we put them on the back burner. Husbands are over the years have been known for putting their vocation before their wife, their job. Sometimes wives, mothers, they usually put their kids before their husband. And that's a problem. The best thing you can do for your children is set a godly example about how a husband and a wife should live together. So they can see that. They can see that you're important to one another, that you believe in what the Bible said, you've cleaving together, you've left your father and your mother, and it's important that they see a spouse, the husband and wife, that loves each other, number one, for security, because there's so much divorce in the day and time that we live in, it shows there's a security there for that child, and that it's not hearing the mom and dad arguing all the time, but also it gives them an example to how you hope that their marriage is going to be like someday. It's the idea of the cleaving to one another, showing them a godly way to live in front of them so that way they can desire to have the same type of relationship. And I know I love my mom and dad. I know that they, watching them grow up, there's things I learned that I did not want to do, and there are some things I learned that I wanted to do. And there are things on how they raised us. I thought, man, that was good, and that was good. And then now, looking back over the years, there are things that I implemented in my home, but other things I did differently. And I'm hoping that Christian and Andrew see that someday if they get married, or someday if they have children, they'll see things that they see that was a priority and see that things we spent time on, things that mom and dad worked together at so we could build a godly relationship, so we could be one flesh together. And so here's the thing. Priorities do not set themselves. They don't. You must purposely set them and then resist the natural drift away from the other. This will include by saying no to some of the opportunities that you're presented with. And like I said, as a pastor, you hear about, hey, there's this revival service going on. There's this special activity going on. There's this outreach, and there's things all around the area. Just like we have special things. There's all types of special things. And these are all good things. But you need to make sure that you have the right priorities in your life and that your husband and wife, remember, there is a greater yes. There is a greater yes that needs to happen in our lives. And that's something that should burn inside of us. Just like it burns inside of us about reading our Bibles and praying, there's a greater yes. I'm going to say no to that TV for a while because there is something that's, there's a greater yes. And when it comes to a relationship with our spouse, there's something that's greater important. And it should not be some type of thing that we turn around and say, man, I got to spend time with my wife. I got to spend time with my husband. It becomes begrudging. You're missing the point what God has for relationships and marriages. It's sort of like when the commandments of God become grievous to us. When I don't want to do what God asked me to do, you know what we're doing? We're missing the love of God. If you go to 1 John, it's a great chapter, the great book of the Bible, and it says that his commandments are not grievous. What is that? I know that God loves me. I know God loves me in a supernatural way, and everything he would ask, I can trust him. And that if God is asking me to keep a commandment, that's what's best for me, and I should embrace that. It becomes grievous when there's a problem with my relationship with him. It becomes grievous when I have a problem with my relationship with my wife. And oftentimes it talks about my relationship with him because I'm not letting the love of God show through me. And it's key that we have this priority, that we say that my husband or my wife needs to be a priority in my life. So you see, the next thing is redeeming the time, redeeming the time. It says here in verse number 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, meaning with the big picture in mind, not as fools, meaning don't throw away your wife for some type of stupid sport or for some type of hobby or some type of club. You know, your wife is more important than that. And then it goes in, and he says, redeeming the time, making good use of the time, using the time that God's given us. Why is that? Because the days are evil. Not only does Ephesians 5 instruct us to walk circumspectly, seeing the big picture, it instructs us to redeem the time. It stresses the need for wisdom and how we should spend our time. If you look here in Colossians 4:5, it says, walk in wisdom toward the Lord, toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Over and over in the book of Colossians, it talks about walking in wisdom. Using your time wisely and redeeming your time is something that is so key. So your next blank is schedule time together. We need to do things intentionally. We need to do things on purpose. You say, well, my husband and my wife, we're just fine. I go to this room and we enjoy it. That's not cleaving to one another. That's not God's best and God's purpose. You say, well, I don't really like my husband. I don't really like my wife. Listen to them. Schedule time together. Spend time together. One of the best representations of your real priorities is your schedule. What we merely suggest we want to do sometime rarely happens. What we actually schedule often gets done. There are certain things that's just got to be a high priority. So sort of like when you get your check. If you get them, you get a check. The first thing you should do is you're going to go out there and hopefully you're going to give to the Lord because it's the first fruits. After that, you're hopefully going to pay your mortgage bill. Now, if you have a budget and your budget is, $1,000 and you give that $100 to the Lord and whatever you give the missions, and then you got a $500 mortgage payment and you think, that would be awesome. Some people would be like, that's high depending on when you bought your house. $500 mortgage payment. And then you have inside of there, you have entertainment, going out to eat, doing other things. Hopefully, your electric bill and your mortgage bill and your insurance bill comes before the going out to eat budget. So what do you mean? Well, going out to eat is nice, but it's not a necessity. And it's something we have to learn. Sometimes I got to eat at home. And there are certain things I got to do in order to just be able to have the right priorities in life. And so I'm going to pay those bills first. I'm going to give to the Lord first. But if you're a financial manager, they're going to tell you to pay your mortgage first, pay your utilities, leave that allotment that's for eating out to be something that is at the end if you have the money, because it's not as important. And the Bible encourages us number of days. The Bible encourages us to apply our hearts to wisdom. It even says in Psalms 90, verse 12, so teach us the number of days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Sometimes we spend all these years with our husband and wife, and we don't apply that knowledge and that wisdom and saying, this is a relationship I must bring together. This is a relationship I must give priority to. This is a relationship God has brought us together. He wants us to leave another relationship. He wants us to cleave together for His honor and for His glory. And that only happens when we spend time together. If we are so wisely to spend our time with other things, fleeting things, we're going to miss the opportunities God has given us in order to build our relationships. So one of the best ways to purposely and wisely invest our time is to set up different things. And I don't think it's in your book here, but he encourages you something for daily. Sometimes, somehow, spend 15 minutes a day just talking to your wife, talking to your husband. So that's crazy. There's no way I could do that. You carve out time for God, and if he's your number one priority, then let's look at our second priority, which is their spouse. Find some time to spend time with them. Spend time to pray with them. Listen to them. Ask how their day was. Actually communicate with one another. It might mean when the kids go to bed. It might mean that you had to get up early with the other one. It might mean that you're crossing in your paths. And I understand that sometimes, especially as younger couples, if they both work, it's a challenge sometimes when there's kids at home. How in the world could I do it? Remember, you got to have a priority in spending time daily. I think it's even important to spend time weekly. Scheduling a date night, scheduling, and it doesn't have to be money, spending time together for an evening, a few hours. It's got to be some type of priority there. And even seasonally, talking about maybe going away somewhere, spending a week together, a few days together. These are all important things to build a relationship. And when you're doing all these things, make sure that you listen to each other as your next plank. Listen to each other. It amazes me still, and maybe it's old school or way things used to be, but how sometimes people marry 30, 40, 50 years together, and they don't even look like they like each other sometimes. They've just stayed together because that's what they're supposed to do. That's what they're used to do. And they do not listen to one another at all when they talk. They covet and they learn and they yearn for somebody else to come over and spend time with them because the fact that they don't enjoy the person that they're supposed to be cleaving to. That's not the way the scriptures are supposed to be. You're supposed to be able to enjoy. Once again, there's nothing wrong with friends. There's nothing wrong with fellowship, but you should be able to listen to each other. There's the perfect balance of time is a myth. You're not going to figure out anything perfect. You're going to have to make it intentionally on purpose. We're going to spend this time together, and it might be different each day. And each week, we're going to go out and try to do something, whether it's just taking a walk or sharing a meal or that you spend time listening to each other. And that balance cannot be something that is frictional. It requires continually adjusting to one another. Sort of like the tightrope walkers have to adjust themselves all along. Same thing with your marriage. It's something that you change as things happen and you learn to grow. The goal then is not to achieve a perfect balance, but it's willing to make adjustments to learning your husband and learning your wife. You say, well, I know my husband. I hear a lady say that sometime, but they don't have a good relationship. Same thing with husbands. I know my wife, she's fine, she'll be okay, but the wife is crying inside. It's learning to adjust. Look what it says in Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? We need the Holy Spirit of God to rely and to gain us and show us and direct us. We need to redeem the time and the idea of building this relationship and cleaving to one another and letting the Holy Spirit of God help you as you embark on this journey of trying to spend time with each other. Learn how to listen to each other. I know some older couples would be like, oh, that's just crazy. I don't need that. what does God want for you? What do you want for your future? What do you want for your kids and your grandkids to see? A husband and wife that love one another. Not in a fake way. Not one dominating and domineering over the other and everybody else being like, I don't know how that person puts up with that person. No, it's the idea that you learn to enjoy one another. God can help you with that. There's two believers in the room that are working together, living together. Both have the Spirit of God, love the Lord in there. It can happen. Practice the exchange life is your next blank. Practice the exchange life. What does that mean? There are certain things we have to give up in order to do those things that are important. And that's what it's saying in 5:18 here. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what? We're going to be filled with something. You are. There, I know most of us would say, I'm never going to get drunk. I'm never going to have alcohol. I'm never going to have booze. I'm not going to do those things. That's ungodly and that's wrong. But we let other things fill our lives. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled by the Spirit. I've seen people be controlled by feelings, emotions, or controlled by their spouse, or controlled by their kids. They do everything their kids tell them to do. They do everything according, but I don't like this. I want this. And the kids just run the house. I've seen a domineering husband or wife do that. I even seen mother-in-laws try to do that and father-in-laws. We're going to be controlled by something. And that's what he's saying, be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Rather than being controlled by some type of substance or other individual, let the Holy Spirit do it. If you see in your notes there, it says, lie not in Colossians 3, 9 and 10, lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So if we're creating new images and we're creating a time, hey, I'm super busy. I need to know how to sync up with my wife. I need to learn how to sync up with my husband. There are some things I need to set aside. You know what? Maybe watching my favorite TV show is not as important as spending 15 minutes with my wife. When you hear it like that, it's like, of course, my wife's more important than a television show. But we spend sometimes hours watching a TV show and we never spend quality time with our husband or wife. Rather than being controlled by something else, learn to take off those things that are fleshly and put on those things that are new. And Ephesians tells us the same thing, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the way you used to live, the old man, the way you did before you were saved, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. We're making decisions based off of our flesh, making decisions based off the things we want, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, letting the Holy Spirit change your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So what the Bible's saying is there's some things that you have to learn to take off, to put on. Same thing with exchanging your priorities in life, view the things you do. If you don't have time for a healthy relationship, we must learn to say, okay, I got to look at this. I'm exchanging my life. I'm exchanging this thing, that bad habits versus good habits. And we need to learn how to serve one another. And 1 Peter puts it this way, 4:2, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. No longer am I going to live according to what my desires, my fleshly desires are, what I want. I'm going to seek out God's will. I'm going to know what God's will is. I'm going to do my best to understand it, and that's what I'm going to do. I want to do what God wants me to do. So what does that have to do with my life and my marriage? It's what our priorities are. It even says in Colossians chapter number 3, living the exchange life or practicing the exchange life, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. It's the same thing. Am I going to exchange this? I got things in this world that I think are really, really important. Am I going to start putting a priority on what God says is important? Am I going to seek that which is above? What is God's will? God's will is for us to have a strong family, a strong marriage. And I'm going to set aside some things. Colossians 3:16 even goes and says, let the word, verses later from what we saw earlier, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's the same thing. There is something that we need to fill our hearts with, we need to fill our minds with, and something we need to understand. We need God's help. Let's do the maintenance that's necessary. You think about it. Many of you many people are intelligent enough about vehicles, and I don't know very much about vehicles, but I've learned at an early lesson that you need to change your oil every 3,000 to 5,000 miles, because if not, you're going to mess your engine up. That's pretty simple, right? You got to blow your car up if you don't have enough oil in it, or if you let it sit there and go. And that's preventative maintenance. In our marriages, in our relationship, there should be preventive maintenance. There should say, I want to make sure my marriage is strong, so I'm going to put that as a priority. God's first, my marriage is second, and I'm going to put that person as a priority in my life. I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to spend time with them. So I got all these kids. I got all these activities. I got all these. I understand that. But walk circumspectly. At the end of your life, you're going to look back, and one of the most important things that you should have had is that person that God's given to you. You say, who says that? Well, the Bible says that you're supposed to cleave together. The Bible says you're supposed to be as one flesh. The Bible says you're supposed to serve together and you love one another. It speaks a lot about husbands and wives. And at the end, what's going to be said? Hey, I did all these things, but one of the things that was supposed to be most precious to me, I failed at. Or at least I did not achieve what God desired for me. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help us. I know these lessons are challenging. Sometimes we even look at it and say, is this really true? Because this is not where I put my priorities. But Lord, when you give us wisdom about leaving and cleaving and weaving our lives together and how we're supposed to treat each other and how we're supposed to look at this as a ministry that you've given to us, all these things come in place that I've allowed myself to become so busy, I've forgotten one of the most important relationships I have. Actually, the most important relationship I have besides my relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that you begin a little bit of a spark inside our homes, inside our relationships, inside our families, that we will long to do what's biblically right and put a priority on our spouses. And Lord, not just their spouses. There's people in this room that are not married. And help us understand the importance of the relationships we have. There's importance and priorities in relationship, but there's some greater priorities in certain areas and some other things that are not as important. That we will view all these things and say, I want to be right with you. Help me to understand and know the will of God. In Jesus' name, amen.